We begin with discussing motivation. There got to be a good reason why you are here. There are a lot of things to do, especially during the weekend, and you have sacrificed those, and you are here. And especially some of you have heard these particular teaching many, many times, and yet you have decided to sacrifice lots of things and be here. Of course, at a glance, we can say we are here to receive teachings. We are here to listen to the Dharma. And at times we do this because it is a traditional thing to do, or because it is a right thing to do, or some of you may be doing it because you are obliged to do. You understand? Because some kind of a religious teacher happened to be here and he's talking, and if you are not here, you know, especially we Asians, we might lose face. We feel that we should fill up the room at least. So that could be the motivation. We don't know. It's important really to check our motivation. Hopefully the motivation is triggered with wish to receive this teaching so that one will achieve enlightenment. I say this hopefully because most of the time when we practice, when we hear teachings or when we are practicing the Dharma, most of the time we don't do it for enlightenment. Enlightenment is almost like if it happens, that's good. But if it doesn't happen, it's also okay. Most of the time we go to temples, we go to teachings because we like to live happily. We want to make the life easier, happier, isn't it? Especially, this is the Asian weakness, I think. We chant mantras for long life. Long life is not enlightenment. Long life is long life. And we don't know. By having long life, we are going to have a better life. We receive teaching so that one will be successful in whatever you are doing. Being successful is not necessarily enlightenment. So this is why I'm stressing, what kind of motivation do you have? Do I have? Do we all have? You see, ideally, so-called long life, success, good health, good marriage, good relationship, all this should be what we call side bonus. For the bodhisattvas, for the practitioners like us, these should be the bonus. Enlightenment should be the real goal, the ultimate goal. That should be our goal. And I'm stressing this because if our aim is wrong, right? If our ultimate aim, I'm talking about two kinds of aim. Ultimate goal or the aim, and the relative bonus, temporary bonus, relative goal. If we have the right aim, especially the ultimate aim, then even if something falls apart in our day-to-day life, the trust to the Triple Gem, trust to the Guru, trust to the path will always be there. Otherwise, in the course of my being Buddhist all this time, I have seen so many people coming to the Buddha Dharma hoping so that their samsari, you know, activity will be successful. That's their ultimate aim, coming with that kind of motivation. And then, of course, our life, so many things goes wrong. That's the nature of life. Okay, today we are happy, but who knows what happens tomorrow? A tomato stuck in your throat while you are enjoying a nice food in some of these wonderful hawker centers. And then that will be it. Your life has reached to the end, all because of a stupid tomato. And this could happen. Life is totally fragile. There's something that we have that we so dearly clutch and grasp to, and that's our life, and sadly, life is the most fragile, and everything is, especially now, so fast, so fragile. And I have seen many people with this kind of motivation. They come to the Dharma, practice the Dharma, and then of course that something goes wrong, and then they lose trust to the Triple Gem. Oh, you know, Buddha is not helping us. See, the approach to the Buddha is very theistic, like any, you know, religion, like a Christians or Hindu, maybe not Hindu, but Muslims. That, if you have that kind of attitude or motivation, then your action, what you are applying, and your view is contradicting. So this is why I ask to really analyze why we are here. It's good to analyze like that, even if it is intellectually. I'm supposed to go through the most profound teaching coming from the Virupa, the saint Virupa, and the Gayadhara, Dogmi Lhotsawa, and all the great Sakepa master. The teaching is called Lamde. Of course, I'm not giving you the complete Lamde, but the beginning portion, the preliminary portion, called Triple Vision. I think that's what it is called. Although the vision is not really the right word, I think. Nangsum, anyway. I will be explaining very briefly, with lots of reasons. First, I don't know it myself thoroughly. Secondly, very lazy. I used to have at least some kind of a pride and ego to talk. I'm not saying that I don't have ego anymore, but the laziness has taken over that. So even talking, teaching, it's so tiring. So the laziness, because of the laziness, the teaching is not happening very thoroughly. And also, I guess, the timing. But I think between today and tomorrow, we can approach to the great Nangsum, the teaching, the Triple Vision, in a practical way, let's say. Let's call it a practical way. And this is very special teaching. It has a complete path for the enlightenment. And it's really important why we receive this teaching, that sort of motivation or the reason is finalized. Because you see, this is why the word vision I don't like. Is that translated as a vision? Vision, yeah. I think it's a little misleading, personally. I think I would call it perception, because Virupa or the great Sakyapa masters are not composing a special vision here. You understand? I think vision is all right, but it could mislead. We are not constructing a new vision and inserting this, programming this vision inside your head so that your vision will change. We are not doing that. Okay? See, life, so-called life. See, people ask the question, what is the purpose of life? But even before you ask this question, what is the purpose of life? What is life? This question you should ask. What is life? According to the Sakyapa master, life is nothing but a perception. It is a continuous perceptions, perceptions after perceptions. That's life. So, Nangsum, like this path, what it does is, it alters, so to speak, redecorates this perception. We already have a certain perception, a lot of perceptions, which we will talk, okay? What we are now going to do is we are going to redecorate this perception. We are going to place them. We are going to manipulate them. We are going to work with it, work with the perception. And then, finally, you will have a different kind of perception, different way of looking at things. And that is what we call enlightenment. Yeah, so this is quite important before you hear this teaching. See, in our head, most of the time, enlightenment is something tangible. The moment we talk about enlightenment, we are talking about a state, a place, some kind of a body, some kind of a dimension, which has 32 major marks, 80 minor marks, and all these complicated descriptions. But if you really make it very easy and down-to-earth level kind of language, enlightenment is actually simply enlightenment is an absence of paranoia. That's it. I'm sure some of the more conservative Buddhists might raise their eyebrow, but that's fine. I can talk with them. It's basically an absence of paranoia. And there are so many paranoia all the time. And do you know why there's all this paranoia? Perceptions. Basically, you are looking at me right now. I am your perception. I'm looking at you. You are my perception. Between you and me at the moment, there is not two dramatic perceptions because somehow we don't know so much, right? We don't know. And between you and me, there's a kind of a big distance, not only physical distance like you are sitting on the floor and I'm sitting on the chair higher, but there is a certain sort of advertisement happened before. A Tibetan, a master, this, that. So those, especially those who has never seen me before, you must have a certain perception about me. You understand? I'm sure some of you have really very, some of you must think, oh, you know, he is like the bodhisattva, you know, this and that. Some of you must be already thinking, can we trust this man? You understand? And some of you are just thinking, when is this going to end? An hour and a half more. You know, depending on different kinds of motivation. Again, it's always going back to the motivation. So there must be a lot of perception. Now, I will give you an example. Okay, so we might get closer, right? Closer. We might have, we might talk. And then our perception gets more solid. And then we might have dinner or lunches, or we might see more and more. And then perception gets more solid and more sophisticated. Because by then, the perception is diluted with our expectation, hope, and fear. Hope to see each other more, or hope not to see, depending on your motivation again. Okay, it depends totally on your motivation. So, anyway, there is a perception, continuous perception between you and me. And then some of you, okay, let's choose those who likes me, okay? Let's say some of you have decided to like me. Then you can paint all kinds of pictures about me. Wow, he's the greatest. All of that. He is the greatest, this, that. Okay? And then I stay with you forever, let's say. And then one day, someone whom you trust a lot tells you, be careful. You know, this man has a tail. You know, tail growing every full moon. Very seriously, he tells you, this man has tail growing, you know, every full moon. I bet the way you look at me will be influenced. It's already influenced. The way you look at me, the way you relate to me, you'll change, right? What happened? The perception is now altered. It's redecorated. It's now manipulated. Now, you will not want to be in the same room, especially in the full moon night, alone. You know, you used to be talking to me very freely and no fear, complete trust, but now you will have to think twice. And every time I go to bathroom, you might be wondering, where does he put his tail? Things like that, isn't it? Perception has changed now about this man. And I'm giving you just a very vague example. I'm sure this has happened in your life a lot. I am sure, very sure. How many times have you fallen in love? So many times. Those who have been lucky with love anyway. And when you are in love, this person whom you love, my God, they are the perfect, isn't it? You think about them day and night. You can't taste food properly if you miss them, even for one night. That's how you long for them. So what do? You get engaged, you get married, you settle down with this person for more than, I think, 2 weeks. Then suddenly something changes. Even the sight of this person annoys you, makes you revolted almost. This happens. I'm sure this has happened to you a lot, almost all of you. What has happened? Nothing. Perception has changed. Your perception has been altered. You understand? I'm giving you this as an example of the Nang Sum, because Nang Sum teaching is basically altering our perception. So there's a three perception we talk about: the impure perception, the experiential perception, and the pure perception. We can talk about impure perception quite a lot. Experiential perception, we can sort of half guess and half sort of talk. Pure perception, we have to do a wild guess and then talk. So these are the three perceptions we talk. Three perceptions. Now let's go back to the motivation again. As I said, first of all, your motivation to listen to this teaching should be because you want to achieve enlightenment. Really. If not, if your motivation of listening to this teaching is to have a successful buying or selling of a share or a stock market or something, won't help. I will tell you honestly. All this, not one word will help you. Better go to a business conference or somewhere where, you better read some other books. This actually is the opposite, I tell you. This tells you how samsara is futile, how they are meaningless, how they are useless. And then yet you go to a teaching and ask for and look for a teaching that will make your business successful. It's wrong. It doesn't work like that. So that's the first motivation. Okay? The second is a Mahayana exclusive motivation. We should be listening to these teachings not only for the enlightenment of ourselves individually, but also for the sake of all the sentient beings. That is very, very important. If you are a Mahayana practitioner, that's so important, especially for the Mahayana practitioners. It's easy to say than done. Just briefly, if we are Mahayana practitioner, you know how many Mahayana practitioners, including myself, firstly, we don't practice much. Secondly, even though if we do practice, we are so worried about our practice and the result of this practice. We don't really care about other people's enlightenment. A Mahayana practitioner should not really care about the failure or the success of their spiritual practice. Mahayana practitioner must be practicing Dhamma for the sake of others. If a Mahayana practitioner observes someone else doing spiritually or materially or worldly better than yourself, and if you feel envious or jealous, that means the bodhicitta is not there. That means you are still more important than all the others. That needs to be changed, and we have to think we receive this teaching for the sake of all the sentient beings. Okay, that's the second kind of motivation. The third kind of motivation I would not stress so much, but some of you, I think, are old Lamde practitioners, I guess. So for those who have received the Lamde teachings before, it is believed, it is said that when you receive Lamde teachings, such Lamde or the not only complete Lamde, but even the parts of the Lamde teachings such as this, you are supposed to think that the place you are receiving this teaching, such as this building, is a cemetery. The person whom you are receiving teaching from is a Heruka. Yourself is not an ordinary being, but also a Bodhisattva or a Heruka. And all the companions are also Dakas or Dakinis and all that. But I think I will not elaborate on the third motivation so much because I don't think it's necessary. And for those who are already have this knowledge, please do so. So let's get back to the three perception now. Okay, three triple perception. So the first perception, impure perception, let's talk about this a little bit. And actually, where is that pointer? Ah, there it is. On that throne, I'm sure many of you have seen this painting of Wheel of Life, Sipa Korlo, we call it. Okay? In fact, in the future, if your non-Buddhist friend asks you, what is the definition of life according to Buddhism, what you should do is go to a bookshop and buy this painting and show. This is it. This is the description or the definition of life according to Buddhism. Okay? Just briefly. In the center, you see a pig, a bird, and a snake, which represents ignorance, passion, and aggression, which is the delusion that we have. Now, these three then perceives when you have ignorance, passion, and aggression, then everything you see is impure. It's like you are looking at a snow mountain, white snow mountain, but you are wearing a blue, red, and orange sunglass, okay, on the top of each other. And then you look at the snow, and that snow is not white. You see a purplish kind of snow. So if you ask whether the snow is purple, of course not. How come you see it purple? Because you are wearing three layers of sunglass. That's why all your vision or the perception is altered, manipulated. So to begin with, we already have a three sunglass, snake sunglass, bird sunglass, and the, what was it? The other? Pig, right. Out of these three, as you see things, you see five realms, five or six realms. So, hell realm, hell, hungry ghost, animal, god, asura, human. These are the six realms that you experience or you perceive. Let's stick with our language here. Okay, this is a Nangsum teaching, so we should use the same language, I guess. So that's the perception you get. Right? That's the perception you end up with. Right at the outside, we see a big monster clutching, holding the wheel of life. This monster actually represents time. Time. Time is like a monster, it's changing. Time means change, of course. If everything is not changing, that means freeze. Then there's no past time, no present time, no future time. And we like time, at the same time we hate the time. It's a monster, it's really a monster. So that wherever the, okay, all this perception are subject to time. All this perception is subject to time. Meaning, our perceptions are going to change all the time, all the time. Of course, some takes longer than the other, but no perception ever lasts forever. So let's begin with one perception. It's really important to know, you know, especially in the Mahayana, and especially in the Vajrayana, like a Lamde, and especially Lamde, because Virupa, the great master or the saint Virupa, is a great scholar of Yogacharya Madhyamikan. He was very strong in propagating the concept that everything is your own mind. So, hell realm, for instance, hell. Where is hell? It's not really underneath this earth, as many religious would say. It's not like you dig this earth and then you find the hell, right? So, hell can... Okay, that's hell. Hungry ghost. Where is hungry ghost?
We go to east.
And then you find a hungry God's realm. No. South, west, north. There is no externally existing, truly existing hungry ghost realm. Same thing with all the rest of the realms. So, what are these realms? They are nothing but a perception, six kind of perception. So in this case, let's say, okay, myself, I'm getting up, okay, after a long flight from Europe, a sleeping pill maybe, and then I get up. And the moment I get up, I'm dull, I'm murky, I don't know where bathroom door is, I'm searching for, you know, the light switch. You know, the state when you are dull. So that happens to me, okay? Every morning I'm a bit of an animal, basically. So during that time I'm experiencing or I'm having a perception of animal. I'm nothing but an animal at that time. Right? Just like a pig. Just got up. Then after I get up, I drag myself to toilet. Take shower and shampoo and the soap and what else? Scrub and facial, what do you call it? Moisturizer and all of that. Now, what's happening? Vanity. You see? You have to make yourself beautiful, right? Oh, I'm becoming fat. Oh, you know, my skin is peeling off. More wrinkles like this. Vanity. You know, at the same time, you think you are beautiful. Of course. Of course, you criticize yourself. Oh, I'm older. I have more wrinkles. My skins are dry. But at the same time, you love your look. That stupid vanity comes in the bathroom. I'm talking about myself, by the way, not you. Okay? So, what I'm saying is, after I get up, when I got up, I was becoming animal. And then after the shower, I think I was a god. I'm usually God. I'm experiencing God realm. You understand? And then, come to the table, breakfast, sunny side up, cappuccino, chocolate, au pain, this croissant and all that. Smells nice. And then you eat. You know, really greedily. Even though a lot of calories is not good for me, even though I have a high cholesterol, I shouldn't be eating chocolates. Lots of calorie means I have to later go and do more treadmill. Is it treadmill, you know, run or swim more laps? But doesn't matter. When the breakfast is in front of me, sausages, ham, you just have to eat. Irresistible desire. At that time, I'm experiencing human realm. So, I'm giving you example. Within the one day, within 1 hour, one could go through all these six realms, experiences. The Mahayana and especially the Vajrayana concept of six realms is not externally. It does exist within oneself. Jealousy. We have anger, passion, and ignorance. You know, ignorance, passion, and aggression. These three emotions are kind of course, they're not good, of course. But, you know, within the five emotions, you know, ignorance, passion, aggression, jealousy, and pride. If you were to ask me, which out of these five, which is the worst, right? I echo my own experience. The ignorance, passion and aggression is, you know, I don't mind them so much. Because with a passion you can get things done, you can read, because of the passion. Aggression also get things done. Ignorance is kind of naive and kind of stupid, so it's okay. But there's a two loser emotion. pride and jealousy. They are such a loser. You gain nothing out of being jealous, or you gain nothing out of having so much pride. Pride. When you have pride, with a pride, your perception is different. So different. I mean, I cannot finish even talking about it. Someone who has so much pride, because of the pride, you can't even have a good date, you know, dating, because of the pride. Have you experienced this? Because you are dating with this new friend, and because of your pride, you don't want to be the one who breaks the ice first. You wait until the other person talks, isn't it? Pride, because of the pride, you know, pride makes you so fragile. More pride you are, easier to get hurt. And because of the pride, your world is so limited. Your perception of the world has become so limited. You don't make friends. You make yourself very limited. Jealousy is another continuous paranoia. So much, as we were talking earlier, so much stories you write because of the jealousy. So much imagination. All of these is created by jealousy. So the five emotions, they create five different kinds of perception. And these are the five perceptions that we have to alter, we have to get rid of. Impure perception, okay, bottom line is this. Impure perception comes because of impure subject, impure, or because of defiled, or as I was telling you the example before, because you are wearing a lot of filters. At the moment, let me put it another way. You must have heard the word yoga. Yoga. Yoga in Tibetan is called Nalnjur. Nalnjur. It's a very interesting word. Nal, in the Tibetan word, nal actually means natural, natural. Jor is a bit like a wealth. So it's like a wealth of being natural. Okay? So our yogis are considered those who have this wealth of being natural. Based on this, if you ask, what is prajna? What is wisdom? What is wisdom in Buddhism? It is our mind that is it's in its height of being normal or natural. Complete natural mind is the wisdom. Unaltered, unfabricated, uncontrived. Not manipulated, completely left alone. That kind of mind is so-called natural mind. And this is what we are trying to achieve. But normality, so-called normality, is very difficult to define. Because what is normal for some people are not necessarily normal for others. What is normal? Sublime beings, saints and the sublime beings, when they look at us, everything that we see, they think is not normal, not natural. And the reason is, when we perceive things, all our perceptions are filtered, contrived, fabricated. Through six kinds of filters, or the five kinds of filters, anger, passion, ignorance, jealousy, pride, and many, many other emotions. All our perception is perceived through these kind of emotions. That's why perceptions, everything what we see is abnormal. Everything what we perceive, our perception is not right. What we see, what we experience is not what it is. Okay?